Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show. I'm getting by with
my wife. That's right. Hey there, welcome to the Arrow After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, getting down. I'm your host, Sally Kona Bradford, and the hood has got to come off. But if you guys haven't noticed, we have something rather amazing going on today. We have not one, not two, but all three of your AfterBuzz hosts for Arrow. Yay! So welcome, everybody. If I didn't say it already, I'm Ali Kona Bradford, and these wonderful people are...
Hi, how you doing? My name is Michael Durgin. My nickname is Mowgli.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm getting naked. Hold on. Let me take this jacket
please
off.
Continue.
Yeah, that's how this show's going.
Honestly,
yeah.
these hoods are a great idea, but they're super warm.
So we had an amazing show. Well, okay. Opinions might beg to differ. I enjoyed this show. I heard a few... grunts and grumbling over from Kelly about
this. I was
this
a little bit bored, I must say, all in all. But until the end.
The end was good.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll talk about the end shortly. But let's talk about the beginning, because we start with going to the flashback of Moira and the trial and reiterating all the things that she pretty much confessed to last season on the season finale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really getting angry at the DA.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because granted, he was doing his job, which is to make her look bad, which he did very successfully, on top of pulling Thea up there, putting her on the spot. And I don't know about you guys, but I hate watching court trials on TV, because you already know that the person is going to go in on everybody, and you just want to, for me, just smack them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And then on top of that, obviously, we already know that Laurel is... on the opposing team, if you will. And when she gets to a point where she's now got to lead the trial, I'm like, oh, God. Like, if this was you, would you have stepped down at that point? Because you are now interrogating your ex-boyfriend, the former love of your life's mother. You know everything about their family. I've already said it in the past. She's too close to the story to be in that trial. I just don't think she should be... that person.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, in any real court case in the United States, you're never going to have a situation like that. 99.9% of the time, there's going to be a conflict of interest, and the lawyer can't be on the case. So, you know, just throwing that out there, you know. So I'm kind of excited to see her being a part of it. It's kind of fun to play this make-believe world and have her try to step up and do that. But at the same time, it is tough. I think it is tough to see her having to go and
she can't even stand herself.
Chastise her friend's mom like that. Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
But you know what? That also, I'm glad. As weird as that sounds, I'm glad. Because if she was able to do that heartlessly, then I would have really been disappointed in her character. But the
right.
fact that she's now going through all these emotions on the inside.
Right.
And even when Oliver checks to see if she's okay, one of the things she says is, how can you even stand me?
Right.
I can't even stand myself.
She's harder on herself than they are on her.
Exactly.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they know that's her job, and that's what, you know, she's doing. And she's definitely put in an awkward situation, but I think that's what makes it so much more compelling of a storyline, is
right.
the fact that she was so close to the other side.
Right.
And even at one point, she actually goes against what she's supposed to do and, you know, sacrifices possibly being disbarred in order to warn Myra a little bit about
yeah.
what's going on.
On a plus side, though, it was really nice to see her out of that ugly, like, whatever, jail uniform.
Oh,
let's be real, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, this is such a weird opinion
yeah.
then. I didn't mind it, only because she looks so fresh with her hair in a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have any
yeah.
makeup on. It just seems so
real, as weird as that sounds.
Well, honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I know she's a little bit older, but she's still, I mean, she's not, she's not that
she's
old.
She's not, don't you?
No, she's a good looking lady, you know? Having her in that jumpsuit was just disgusting, but it's good to see her looking good again. I mean, obviously, I'm not the only person that thinks it, Mr. Merlin. Hey.
Oh. Can I just say, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead. We won't talk about it yet, but I will say when Thea and who is she having the conversation
be
with?
Be careful with what you're saying.
I will be careful. Okay, you know what? Just stop me. Just stop me. I'm going to change the subject because then I'm going to get into the end of the show.
I take notes sometimes when I'm watching the show, and my notes specifically say, Meyer Queen, nice to see Oliver's mom looking good again. So there you go.
What did you guys think about Count Vertigo's return and us seeing what really happened and how he got out?
I thought it was really cool. Like, Count Vertigo escaping was probably one of the most dynamic twist to the show for this episode, you know, but I thought that him letting the doll maker out was kind of confusing. But then if you think about it, Count Vertigo actually, like, I guess, like, if you guys read the comics, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't like getting into the comics too much because we're actually talking about Arrow. It's a TV show that just happens to be about the comics, but every now and then I'll throw some stuff in. So hopefully it's okay with you guys. But Count Vertigo used to actually be part of the Suicide Squad in the comics. And the Suicide Squad was, like, a group of people that were, like, you know, villains. He's one of the most super villains of all times. But that being said, it was kind of cool to see him go ahead and try to release another person that's evil, because it kind of, like, shows that cohesion between two evil people that could end up being something like the Suicide Squad.
Right.
But it was interesting. I liked it. I like seeing him get out and bring someone out with him.
Yeah, but the way he went about doing it, he just went through the cells like, no, 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 good luck, choke and die. Hey, you look evil, here's some keys.
Well, no, he said he was familiar with your work. He's like, I love your work.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it was because of the way that he killed people. Right. Like his M.O., that's what he liked. Maker.
And interesting.
Just as a side note, Deadshot actually in the comics is one of Count Vertigo's like Suicide Squad guys, and Count Vertigo actually asked Deadshot to kill him in one of the comics. Stone it out there. So there's a lot of stuff that could be going on in the future, as we're going forward. I just wanted to throw it in. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I did notice that I thought was interesting in the opening scene of seeing Count Vertigo, I was a little confused because I thought he was crazy for life. I thought that OD screwed him up permanently.
Yeah, it should have.
And that he wouldn't be able to function.
Yeah,
well, that's what we talked about that when we first saw him, and I was going to bring that up as well, is how, I wonder like what the time duration was when the quake happened and when he was actually put in with the regular people, because I thought he was in that padded cell for a minute.
Right.
Like after after all of that, when Oliver decided not to kill him.
Well, it's obviously been a long time because...
But was it really that long between the time the quake happened and when he got locked up?
That I don't know, but I will say I didn't realize that it'd been 5 months before Thea even visited her mom. So that must mean how much time has really gone by in the
show. That's very true.
Well, we knew, like, they had talked about that it was a long time before she went. That
but
it was
5 months? Yeah. I thought we were only coming back to the show 3 months later.
Which means that Count Vertigo could have definitely been in there for about a year. And honestly, there was drugs in his system, so those could have been flushed out. And again, quick point, just to make you guys happy, in the comics as well, he does have drugs that enter into his system. He's actually flooded with them in a couple of the comics to get him to do what people want him to do. Because the whole idea behind Count Vertigo is that he actually, as a child, had a small implant put into his ear because he had no sense of balance. And it was able to help him to balance himself. That's how he got the name Count Vertigo or whatever. Because he actually used to have vertigo. He'd have a trouble up and down. So I guess as you move forward from that, he actually could induce that effect on people around him that were in close enough range of the electronic device in his ear.
Right.
So that's how he got the whole name. And then they inject him with a bunch of medication and a bunch of different drugs to try to get him to be able to induce different effects to people. And that's how he's like used as like a tool for evil. So like the drugs being induced into him from the show was kind of a cool point because it like brought you back to that know, mentality. If you guys are wondering, this is the best show to watch for Arrow AfterBuzz, by the way. Continuing forward, we give you everything.
You know, but that's very interesting that they do that because, you know, this show, the way it's written, it loosely follows the comic book, but it definitely makes its own interpretation of how it wants to play
the
characters.
It's just cool to see that, yeah.
Yeah, because it's definitely different, and he's obviously going around. Smart plan, I'm not going to lie, not that I liked it, but you infected the most of the city with your little flu bus.
Right. Yeah.
And it's funny because at the beginning of the show, that's all they kept talking about. Flu shot. I'm like, why are they talking about this?
How did they not connect that quicker?
I don't know.
That's what was funny, because by the time you like it comes together and it's like, duh, how did you not think about it too? Yeah.
Another good tidbit was that Star Labs said that their particle accelerator was on track. Did you hear that in the news?
Yes, in the news.
Yeah,
yes.
I was really excited. God, we're such geeks. Give it up. Pounds. Give it up to geeks.
Speak for yourself.
And that's what Vertigo used to ping his broadcast off of when he took over the airwaves.
Well, you know what? Okay, I will say this. Is Adam the district attorney's name?
Yes.
Okay, so when
he's
Adam...
Assistant.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't want to give him that promotion. So when he steps in and he's given his whole interrogation and doing his business in court and starts feeling that high withdrawal, I'm not quite sure what it was, mm-hmm. part of me was like, huh? You deserve that, you big butthole.
Yeah, and he's fell a to the douche.
Ground. He is a douche. But you know, Arrow Oliver still went to save him regardless. He could have let him die. He could have said, you know what? You're the butthole that's doing all this to my mom. I really don't want her to face the death penalty. I don't want her to face, you know, life in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just let him disappear.
But at the same time, don't you think it's kind of weird that Diggle, like, needed a flu shot? Like, he just decided to go to a random bus and get a flu shot? I mean, I'm assuming Oliver gives him pretty good health care. You know what I mean?
Well, when you're helping a vigilante and you have to be a bodyguard to one of the most popular, you know, richest kids.
Yeah, I guess a flu shot from a bus.
You have to just get it when you can get
right?
When he's in court. I mean, walk down to the bus and get a shot.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's...
he doesn't have a lot of free time, you know.
Yeah, this is true.
Arrow is supposed to be a show that talks about, like, he's supposed to be the radical voice of the political left, you know?
Right,
so that's, like, the whole idea behind it in the end is what he ends up coming. So I can't help but wonder if like this Diggle taking the flu shot is some kind of like parallelism to Obama's healthcare plan. I really hope it's
not. Oh, wow. That's really deep. That is really deep.
And it's messed up if it is.
Is that what we have to look forward to in our future? Wow. So
moving on.
Yeah. But Diggle was really stubborn this episode and in a noble way, because obviously there's a lot going on with Oliver's family. And Diggle's always been that guy that puts his friends to me ahead of him and his needs.
Oh, absolutely.
And he, you know, the whole time he's fine. Like, dude, you're not fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even willing to go after Count Vertigo when all this stuff is going down, ready to investigate. But Felicity's like, dude, I got it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's right. However, I think you were saying you kind of knew when she was about to go. We knew she was going to get in trouble.
Of course.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm sorry. I love her.
I do.
She's in a basement. Really, in that outfit, in a basement, gonna
hey,
go?
Hey, like, you know what?
Come on.
When your boo is your boss, okay?
It's not her boo.
It's about, you know what? No. In the future, it doesn't matter. When
I'm not on
are,
Team Elicity, by the way.
You know what?
Oliver
Felicity. Either way, so we're gonna pretend we didn't hear that. Yeah. When you are swooning over a man, of course you're gonna dress up and look like a woman.
What are you guys talking about? She's not swooning.
On the inside, yes, she is. If you didn't see that look in her eyes at the very end of the show.
I did not. I missed
what?
It. Maybe it's because no guy can get through the kryptonite of a girl wearing glasses and a tight dress. I'm sorry. She needs to get rid of the glasses if she wants a real chance.
She has in the past.
She's got competition.
She's put the hair down. She's taken the glasses off.
She's got a lot of competition
in that
show.
She goes to this flu bus.
Okay, thank you, Kelly.
She gets on this bus, and of course she gets busted by Vertigo. Of course, because you know, it was too easy to break in. Yeah. Nobody was there.
Oh, wait.
Yes, they were.
Sorry, but how did you guys like how Oliver's taking charge again and really throwing down the law? Like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Da-da-da-da-da. You're going to get Diggle, give this to Diggle, and then afterwards, you know, I want you to go ahead and find out where he went to get this into him and all that. And he's like, I got to get things done. Like, he's back in control, back in charge of his life, you know? It's good to see him not have to, like, make all these weak mistakes because of his relationship with Laurel or weak mistakes because, you know, he doesn't care about his friends. Like, he's just on point with everything. This whole episode, Oliver's really showing a lot of potential of maturity as a superhero as well as a person, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's able to like kind of like realize how to balance things.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sure to be a good friend of Diggle. He makes sure to be a good friend of his Felicity.
Right.
And then he makes sure at the same time to be the first sister in his family somehow.
Right.
It's good to see that development.
Well,
of the character.
He's getting back to his old self because he was kind of like in a dull state after, you know, losing
everything.
Tommy and all of that. And now he's kind of coming back into his own and like getting it back together. And I like that. So definitely seeing him in a stronger, you know, kind of stronger role is better.
What I want to talk about also, too, is Thea a little bit. And we'll talk about the ending statement. But with Thea, This poor girl has got so many emotions bottled up, and I feel like she's tried so hard to hold it together. And not even just this episode, but if you really think about her past, or even in season one, mm-hmm. she's had to deal with so much and mm-hmm. not let it out. And in season one, it was her taking the vertigo and doing all these things to rebel against whatever is going on with her family. And now, this time around, dealing with all these things with her mom, and on top of the fact of feeling this guilt that she was the one that dropped the ball that caused her mom to now have to testify. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Roy, being a wonderful boyfriend. He shows up with the boxing gloves.
Oh, Jesus.
Hit me. And try, hit me. But that was such a good moment to me, like a moment of a release that was so necessary for her and for her character. And at the same time, it also, to me, was a symbol of... We don't know who Speedy is going to be. Obviously, Roy will eventually become the Red Arrow.
Right.
But as far as Speedy and her having the nickname and throwing punches, part of me was reaching and trying to think, well, maybe it has something to do with it's showing her future as a super something.
Right. That makes
sense. Or maybe like having her hone in on her emotions and learn how to channel them and get a little stronger.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought the Roy scene when he pulls out the boxing gloves was a little bit gay. No offense.
You know what?
That's not the right word to use. I'm sorry, but it doesn't mean what you think it means.
At all. But.
I know. But I just thought it just wasn't very masculine of him. It wasn't something.
Okay, you know what? Yeah. Skirt, hold on. Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Okay, thank you. So anyways, like I was saying, I thought it was a really great
moment. I don't have a girlfriend
moment.
By choice.
Sure. Okay, so anyway, here's the thing. Okay, I can understand. You know what? As a man, I get it. You weren't trying to hear him be all smooth and soft and hit me. But
hit
as
me.
A...
Hit me.
You know what? I'm taking away your mic privileges. And so... It was necessary. That's what you do. That's what you do for not only your girlfriend, but your best friend.
Right.
If they were going through something really rough emotionally and you knew they were keeping it inside of you, just like he was saying, when I was going through everything I was going, my mm-hmm. inner turmoil, the only way I could get rid of it, I would hit somebody and I'd feel this heat.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
why I was on the streets fighting cool. and doing those things because I didn't know what to do with my emotions.
Yeah, no, totally awesome. You know what's easier than that? Just saying, let's talk about it, because that's what I would do.
Well, you're a rare species of man because
hey, do you
want to
talk about it? Do you want to just tell me how you feel right now? I feel like that's a good way to handle it. I think it's very eccentric to pull out boxing gloves and say, hit me in my chest.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes you kind of need that physical release.
Yes.
I mean, you do. Oh, yeah. You get stressed out and you kind of just need to let it out somehow. Some people like work out, they do different kinds of things, martial arts and all of that. And this was like a good way to kind of let it out.
But you did think that Thea did an excellent job. Like, I think Thea actually made that scene really work.
No, absolutely. I thought she was really good.
She was super passionate, she was kind of
working through it, and she wasn't into it at first. And then as she got into it, and you could see the emotion building and letting out. And I thought that was a great scene.
Yeah, that was.
And I liked that he did that for her.
Yeah, Thea really
made
that
I thought
scene.
It made him more of a man to be able to do that with her mm-hmm. and kind of make it a kind of like a little bit more of like, a softer moment for them and let her kind of, you know, be a little bit more like masculine aggressive. In that sense and aggressive when she needed to be. And he was okay with himself to step back and let her do that.
Exactly. Because the typical thing to do is, let's talk. Do you want to talk? I'll put my arm around you. Sometimes it's not enough.
Man, let me tell you what happens in real life. Once you open those floodgates of letting your girlfriend hit you, it just doesn't stop. I'm just throwing it out there. I've dated girls that have tried to hit me, all right? I've been a victim. I'm not trying to play into this Roy thing,
all right? Apparently talking doesn't work in his life either.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm like, stop hitting me. That's what I'm doing. Come on.
Different strokes for different
people. Yeah, I don't open those gates. That's all I'm going to say about it. But it's good. I mean, I'm really excited for her. She really made that scene work. Roy, not so much.
Oh, I think, you know, we'll talk about Roy later as far as him coming into our own, maybe in some predictions and stuff like that. Because we've seen him a little bit, but not a lot. Not since he first was introduced to the show. He's now taken a back seat a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see his character develop a little bit more, not just with his girlfriend, but also just him in general. Because all these things, like, he's really trying to help Oliver in some of his tasks, or I should say the Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we see is Oliver constantly shutting him down. In real life, would you really just take that? Because after a while, I think you'd want
to... Well, he's got to learn to be the sidekick. That's the thing. It's like, he's not the front and center person.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, too, with his character and his struggles and just all the trouble that he's gotten into, he doesn't have patience. He doesn't have any of that. He always goes no holds barred. He doesn't know how to rein it in. He doesn't kind of do research. He just kind of goes without thinking. And this is teaching him that sometimes you got to step back. You got to slow down. You got to take a look around. Know your surroundings. If this is what you really want to do, then you have to get it together. Just like when Oliver was on the island and that's how he learned. You know, they didn't let him do hardly anything at the beginning either. It was the same kind of thing. And I think he's kind of taking him through those same steps because he was such a loose cannon. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to kind of rein him in a little bit.
Right. That makes sense.
Scale it back.
I was going to say, that's an excellent, excellent point. Yeah. But what I will say is, wouldn't it be so much easier just to tell him? I understand that you have to learn by experience, but at the same time, keeping somebody in the dark about what you're having them do in order to learn, just if he wants it so bad, train him.
It's a whole wax on, wax off.
Well, wax on, wax off and train me. Like, physically train me or take me to your lair or something. I mean, I know you have to prove yourself trustworthy.
No, but it's as simple as that. Because you remember by the time, like, he painted the house, he washed his car, like, all of that. By the time he got it, he already got it.
He's,
do you know what I mean?
Speaking of the Karate Kid.
Well, yeah.
The Karate Kid, yeah.
This is getting kind of crazy.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's that same kind of thing. It's like, people tend to learn without realizing it. Mm-hmm, and it's kind of, you know, it's all that, you know,
control. You're
like,
learning control,
yeah. Yeah, you don't even realize that you're doing it.
Roy's learning control right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's becoming a natural kind of thing versus something that he's trying so hard to do. It's because he's easing into it. It's becoming just part of who he is.
Right.
And he doesn't even realize.
Roy's character, I know. I'm being kind of hard on him, but I actually like the character. I hate to say it, but I do. I mean, I don't like him like Oliver. That's totally different. But I'll say it like, you know what I mean? At the same time, his character's maturing. I like that.
Yeah.
He still has a lot to learn about how things work, you know, but he's on his way.
Well, Kelly, you brought up the island. Let's talk a little bit about the events that happened on this show with the island. I'll let you.
Oh, okay. So Oliver's still captured at this point by Sarah and the new crowd, and they want to find
Dr. Ivo.
Yes,
right.
They want to find the
Arrowhead.
Yeah, but they're looking for the gravesite.
Right. Well, I mean, first they con him, but by force make him go to the plane where they're shooting up the plane like Swiss cheese, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know how they knew in advance to go hide and duck, but they did, thank God.
Right. Well, because Oliver screamed, hello.
Oh, yeah, that's
no.
right.
No, that was too fast. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, because...
No, but he did. But I'm sure, you know, their the shadow. I'm sure they had to hear it or, you know, whatever. Heard the approach and then, like, knew to hide. But.
And, Mike, you brought up a really good point. In the last episode, we saw that Shadow was taking care of Slade and she was putting this mud treatment on his face for the burn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just ironic how it's perfectly placed across his face and half of his face is dark and half is light, foreshadowing the whole Deathstroke thing.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, Deathstroke is probably one of the coolest villains in the history of the show. But the fact that there's already been a Deathstroke and that you're having Slade not take that role is really cool to me because... I actually see him as always caring about Oliver no matter what. So whatever his role becomes, this is what I honestly think. I think that the flashbacks we've had so far, most of those characters end up becoming something we see in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I am hoping that we get to see a good guy.
Deathstroke?
Yeah, like a good guy in Deathstroke. That's what I want to say, yeah.
Well, if you notice, we've seen pretty much... Or at least that's what it seems to be. Like, we're seeing two versions of every character.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So that kind of seems to be the pattern of what they're doing with this show versus the way that the comic book has been.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe we'll get to see the good side and the bad side of each. And that's why we get that, which is really cool.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I think that's a good point to be taken into consideration. And then I'll also say that, what was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, I'll say that the way that, they stick up for Oliver and they have his back and they go after him. If anything, if he was going to go evil and not help Oliver, it would have happened already. He would have already hated him for making him go back to that base and have the bomb hit him in the face.
Yeah, but he didn't. You know? How can you really... Well, I guess you could be mad, but they were going back for Shadow.
Over and over again.
But they were going back for Shadow and we find out, obviously, there's some sort of secret something going on between Slade and Shadow in maybe in the past or what have you. There was just something. So... In the back of his mind, I'm sure he wasn't that mad that they were going back for Shadow.
Yeah, that makes sense, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'm looking forward to finding out what the tipping point is, what it is going to be that sets him off, that turns him into Deathstroke. Yeah. What happens?
Yeah.
There has to be something significant.
You did notice in the last episode that he's starting to become very affectionate towards, what's her name?
Shadow.
Shadow, right.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Is that what you were just talking about?
Yeah.
Did I just miss that?
Yeah.
I was thinking about something in my head, but yeah. I think that's going to be the tipping point. It's going to be something that goes on between her and Oliver that puts him off.
Right.
But which is what we've seen building.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But as we all know, no matter what it is, Oliver and him go way back. And I think that anything that happens, you should never let Ho get in between friends. <You know? laughs>
Well, so much for being PC. But you know, she showed up
talking about a rake.
But she showed up with a hood. Did you guys see the green hood that she was wearing when she showed up with Slade to rescue Oliver?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his hood.
Yeah,
that's right.
Remember, that's what Sarah tells him when she sees the hood. She's the last time I saw it, Shadow was wearing it. You remember from last episode or the episode before?
Right.
Huh.
Yeah.
I know they're not the same size.
Hmm. Well.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, but.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, no, no. But what I was going to say is, because, you know, they place these flashbacks to me very strategically within the show. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of times it will parallel what's going on in the current time frame. Mm-hmm. And when they flash to that one, I don't remember what the scene was right before it, but right when that scene opened of them rescuing Oliver and the shots go down, the arrows go down, he snatches up. What's Katie Lott's character? I'm sorry. Sarah. He snatches up Sarah and takes her with. And because she's like, well, what'd you do that for? And that was right after the scene, I believe, with Laurel asking, you know, why are you asking me if I'm okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just to show a little bit of who he is, because he sees good in people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what the purpose of that one is, but I don't know if she's now going to be a part of their team, because at some point in the island, she obviously is going to separate from them because she becomes part of the League of Assassins. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I see, the scene, there's a lot going on there. But what I really liked going back into the future, though, was how, I think, again, I don't know if we're allowed to go, I don't know, is it okay if I take the flow forward a little bit? Is it cool?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so I think that it was really cool how Oliver was in that showdown in the room with the Count, and he decided not to kill everybody in the room. Yeah. I think watching how he's not killing is a very cool aspect of what's going on as we push back into the future.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a definite turn away from what's going on when you're watching these flashbacks and you're seeing him take out gunmen and just blow people up and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's just further proving that he's no longer the vigilante, but coming into his own as a hero.
Yeah, and then saving Adam was really cool, too.
Yeah.
How he got him out of there and just left the rest of him behind. Back in the day, Oliver would... you know that in the comics, Oliver can shoot up to 27 arrows in like a minute?
Really?
He can shoot like an arrow every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. He could have taken all those guys out.
Well, even at the very end of the show, sorry guys, jumping forward, but when he went to go and rescue Felicity, he pulled that arrow up so fast.
He had it down
for a second, you know, because obviously Felicity was in a predicament, but just it was unbelievable to me how fast he picked it up and was like, pop, pop, pop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's fast. Like, imagine that. Let's just count it real quick, how fast he can shoot an arrow and kill you. 1,000, 2,000. And that was, like, actually
And then you're dead.
Slow.
You're gone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That was slow. Yeah. He was already dead.
And he could
dead.
Do that yeah, over and over
faster.
And over
yeah.
again.
A lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we'll talk about the rescue scene. I will say this one note that I did have in my notes about Felicity. She's brilliant, and we all know that, but sometimes she still wows me, because when she was tracking down where exactly Vertigo's hideout was, she did that based off of a reflection in his eyeball in the public service announcement he gave.
Uh-huh.
What?
Right.
That was awesome.
Right.
Well, Oliver told her, go frame by frame, piece by piece, see
and
what you
did.
Can find.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Her humor, because every time they ask her, can you do this? Are you surprised? Of course. So why are you even asking me? Like, duh, I can do this.
So I think we're finally here now. I think it's ready to talk, be talked about. So
no, not yet.
Oh, no, I was going to... Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, but I'm cutting you off anyways.
Okay.
What are you going to talk about?
I was going to say, Myra and Malcolm's relationship.
Not ready for that.
Okay.
Not ready for that. You know why I'm not ready for that? Because I'm going to wrap up Felicity and Oliver really quickly.
Okay,
so he shows up to rescue her,
I'm so sick
put
of
off.
These two.
You know what? Hood
yes.
off.
Well, because we find out that Vertigo figures it out.
Yeah.
So Vertigo figures out that he is Arrow. So he comes in, no makeup, no mask, no hood.
What a relief.
Nothing. He comes out just with his costume and a bow.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be, it would have been too easy, but I really thought this was going to be my moment because.
Oh, God. Felicity, I'm so sick of this.
I was actually so
no, I really did think
glad
so.
It was not that moment.
I am too. I will say I'm glad
I don't
too,
want it to happen
but,
too fast.
But I honestly thought something was going to happen, but it's still that he's got the guard up. You can tell he's got the guard up.
Well, I think there were at least two opportunities for it to happen, and I'm so glad it didn't happen at either point.
But it was definitely there in her eyes, but it was more like, please.
Well, no, I actually think a little bit in both, and then, you know.
And then he would just shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was nothing there on Oliver's part. Are you guys crazy?
Yes, there was. And that's coming from somebody who's not.
I'm not a big Elicity fan. You guys know it, but okay. I can admit it that I did see
it. Hey, look, honestly, I'll say that I thought they were going to kiss too. I did, but, you know, it's just because, you know, the testosterone in the room. You know what I mean? Like, throwing those arrows and killing people and saving girls.
Yeah, that makes me want to make out.
Yeah,
totally hot.
I feel like he should have kissed her just based on principle. Because if any guy did that for a girl,
I thought you were going to say, if any guy did that for me. Yeah.
If I went through all that and I shot two arrows and they both landed where they were supposed to and I saved a girl's life, that's like a free pass.
She better make out with me.
Right. Yeah, that's like a free pass to take her to dinner at minimum. You know?
Wow.
If I was like, hey, can I take you to dinner now? Or, hey, may I make out with you?
Be like,
now?
Thanks for saving my life.
No. Thank Sorry. You can do anything you want, is what I hope she says. Within reason. Sorry.
Okay, so now we can move on to your topic. Go ahead, intro it.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say I think that it's very interesting how the court case is going because now we find out that Myra and Malcolm had a relationship. Sexual relationship.
You know what? That did shock me.
It was crazy.
I'm going to be honest with you because I didn't expect that one either. But as soon as she said that they had a relationship, come on. My first thought was, Thea's not blonde. She's kind of got brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to be his daughter.
God, I never saw that coming.
I did.
I thought we had talked about the possibility of them having an affair last season, maybe.
Did we?
Maybe
I don't remember.
I don't know. I wasn't here.
I don't know. Anyway, no, it definitely, that was as soon as she revealed that in court, or told them, actually, before.
Yeah, that's right.
Then, yeah, I thought the same thing.
Wow, like, that's crazy. But, you know, I think at the same time, we can all assume that a derelict like Oliver's dad definitely probably was cheating. A lot, you know, flamboyant.
Well, and that's how she kind of...
Like father, like son, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, and she and Myra kind of sets it up by saying, you know, while he was doing that, I slipped up and did the same thing to kind of justify the reasons for that indiscretion.
Right.
And of course they use that in court.
Of course.
That does not make you look good at all.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But that's the thing. Oh, sorry.
No.
The court case was just not looking good. It was not looking good for her. And so when they announced that she was innocent on both counts, I think just everybody was in shock.
Dude, yeah, totally. I mean, she definitely pulled an OJ on that one.
Well, even Oliver thinks like something's fishy. Like that's just not at all what was expected.
If the glove don't fit, you must have quit. I got her back. You know what I mean? I got her back. But I did think that was kind of weird how strong Laurel came at attacking Oliver's mom. I really was uncomfortable with it. And a lot of aspects.
I was too, but I actually liked it.
Yeah. You liked it? What did you like?
I liked it because she was doing her job and she didn't hold back. And that's
her job?
That's her job. She was being a good lawyer. Whether she personal stuff aside, she was doing her job to the best of her ability, just like she said she would.
God, it was just.
You gotta have respect for that.
Okay, but how did you feel about how Oliver treated her afterwards?
I like that too.
God,
I did because, I mean, come on. He knows that her sister's alive and he's not telling her. There's a lot of things going on in that dude's head. There's so many things that he cheated on her with his dad. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on over there. All she did wrong, and which is not even really wrong, all she did was do her job to the best of her ability the way that she said she would. She never held back and said she would do anything less. And she actually, in good faith, went to talk to Myra and said, please don't do this because I will have to do this.
Right.
So it wasn't all bad.
But she didn't have to do that. She didn't have to do that because she could have walked away from the trial.
No, she couldn't. Not in her position. She didn't feel like she could.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, think about it. She's got to look out for herself, too. This is her job, her livelihood. You know? Yeah. I mean, this is like what?
But
how many jobs are there in Starving City?
Well, you know what? I'm going to argue with you on that one. I'm going to argue with you because.
Please do.
If I was in that situation, that means that I would have to, for the rest of my life, live with the fact that I just put this woman in jail. And maybe I feel like she deserved it, but maybe I don't because I know her very well. Mm-hmm. And again, she's like family to me. I've known her growing up, and I'm about to put her in jail. Or the death penalty. I don't know which one it was that they were going to.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was a death penalty. So can you live with that for the rest of your life? Because personally, I'd rather live without a job. I'd rather be like, I'm sorry, I cannot take this.
But think about it this way. She totally was guilty. Like, she really was. Like, she, whatever the reasoning and all of that, and we mm-hmm. say that mm-hmm. she was scared for her life and all of that, but all through season one, even up to the point that she does the press conference, she never really showed to be that scared. Even when she set up other people to be killed instead of her, when she was covering her tracks, and
right.
she knew, you know, all these different things. So maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, we really don't know. But mm-hmm. one thing that we do know is she did help Malcolm.
Right.
Right.
All of these things are true. So that's the question. If you know yeah. that these things happened, whether or not you were close to her or not, can you live with letting her right. off the hook for killing all 500 and whatever, three
503,
people?
503.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you live
somebody's
with that?
Right.
I mean, if that's your job is to put bad people away, right. like if it's right. if you're looking at it strictly black and white, guilty or not guilty, can you live with that? Can you, are you a strong enough person to put your personal feelings aside and go with the facts?
Well,
and look at it that way. I mean, that, yeah. I think that's the question. That's the right. difficult situation.
This is the great thing about having three people here is because it's great to get the different perspectives. Because I would have never been on that side of the track with you. Mm-hmm. But I agree, you're 100% right where you're coming from, especially her being a non-emotional robot and just going after it like that. It makes sense. But I will say that we have to agree that by watching season one and seeing that the entire boat was salvaged and brought back and, you know, kept in storage, the fact that her new husband was abducted and just
how. And she knew about it.
Yeah, but the whole way mm-hmm. that everything went down like that, she realized there's forces. I mean, I think any person would realize there's forces outside of your control or even your knowledge that mm-hmm. are influencing even Malcolm Merlyn.
Of course.
Which brings me back again to Ra's al Ghul and his league, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would assume she had some wind that she needed to cover her tracks and she needed to be a part of things like this because you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, no, of course, but that yeah. still doesn't make her less guilty. Like, that's the whole point is that, you know, and no, I don't think that, I mean, that's definitely a very difficult decision. Right. And if, you know, all feelings aside and all that, and we really don't know. And that's the great thing about right. what this show does is because you don't really know. We thought for a while she was the bad guy, then she's really not. And it's kind of hard to see her mm-hmm. as that evil person because I really don't think she is. I think she, I really personally feel yeah. that she did what she felt she needed to do. And the lying and all that. And I'm glad that she's stepping it up and coming right. clean. And she didn't back down from testifying. I really respected her character
right.
for that.
Right.
Is not shying away and doing
respect.
The cowardly
respect.
Thing. I really did.
Right.
But I just okay. don't think we should be so hard on Laurel, even though she's not one of my favorite characters either.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right. But hey, I will say this. We all know in the end if she, you know, is going to have the life sentence or for some reason someone's going to try to kill her or if the government's going to decide she's guilty, Oliver's just going to bust her out anyway, right?
Oh, well, for
I mean,
sure.
come on. Honestly, you yeah. think he's really just going to let her die?
That's true.
Well, I thought yeah. she was totally going to die in this episode.
Yeah, because everyone's tweeting about shock. In this
well,
yeah.
no, not even so much that, but the way that they set up the last, like that last scene with her is because she's coming out of the courts. It's the cameras and all of that. And then they have her in the stairwell by herself with this one, like, driver guy that's not Diggle, not anybody that mm-hmm. we've seen before.
Oh, yeah.
So that to me was sketch. And then she gets in the car and it's just her. And there's nobody else there to greet her. I was like, where's Theo? Where's Oliver?
Right.
To, like, pick her up.
You
know,
drive
yeah.
home
why
with
was she alone?
I don't know if the casting director is making a joke, but the driver did happen to be Asian. You know what I mean? Like, of course, Asian driver.
What?
He was part of the League.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what I thought.
That's
I
thought
what I
thought,
too. Get abducted by the League of Assassins.
Yeah.
Which, granted, Malcolm is considered a part of that now that we know, so maybe, but he wouldn't have shot him. Never mind.
Yeah.
But I
well,
definitely,
I
will say I did not expect John Barrowman's character to return. I thought he was going to return in flashbacks, or mm-hmm. at least that's what the producers were saying during their interviews. But of course, they wanted to surprise
of
us.
Of course, and it was great.
Yeah, so when he walked out, oh.
So and, Merlyn is alive.
But at the end, or so, I'm sorry, I don't want to get too crazy, but with Oliver getting hit by that bullet, did you guys worry that there was something laced on that bullet?
No, to be honest with you, it left my memory, and when he showed up for court, only reason I remembered is because you said something.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
when mm-hmm. Thea grabbed him by the shoulder and asked him what's wrong.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, something just happened.
Oh, I just thought, no, I just thought she's squeezing the bullet wound.
Oh, okay.
No, but there
that
may
makes
be
sense.
Because even
that makes
when you
more
see
sense.
The bandage and he, you know, we never really see him in pain.
No.
And he seemed to show a little bit more pain and then we see the bandage is bloody and we
yeah.
don't really mm-hmm. see that with his injuries. And
yeah.
so I think you're onto something. It could possibly be, especially because we find out that Brother Blood is the one that has been funding Vertigo and had him
right.
go after and get rid of the arrow.
Right.
And he's got this crazy serum stuff going on in this laboratory and
right.
has all these. So it could have been laced with something. Or
which we happen to think that this serum has something to do with the serum that they're talking about on the island, and that
yes.
could be the connecting of the two different stories. But it's really weird because these people, You know, I think you brought it up in one of the, I don't remember which one of you brought it up, but it was the episode where we saw the first guy die, or so we thought, and bleeding from the eyes.
Right.
But then in this episode, we see a bunch of people lined up bleeding from the eyes, but one apparently comes back to life, and now he's coming back as a superhuman.
Yeah, what's the Wolverine complex? Like, you know, well, not to go too Marvel, but in the Wolverine thing, like, Wolverine is an experiment with a long list of other people that are experiments as well, and they're trying to find someone that can live through the surgery that puts the adamantium skeleton onto his body. Everybody else they try to do it with ends up dying. Wolverine's the only one that survives because he's stronger and he can heal quicker than the rest of them. So
well, it's kind of the same thing in the Marvel comics, like with Captain America and how the Hulk like tries to recreate it and then he becomes the Hulk because it was like too much and, you know, whatever. It kind of goes to that same thing. So I think this is kind of, you know, their version of
that. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely, I think what we're realizing here is when we see that long line, it's not that all of them are going to survive. It's just that that's the one that did. And that means that if he could survive whatever that serum is that's being given to him, that that's the hugest part. And on a side note, I will say that Dr. Ivo is actually, like a villain from the comics that wasn't like a super popular character, obviously, but his whole idea and his quest in the comics is to find the ability to live forever. So like that's what he's obsessed with because he's afraid of death. And honestly, that's a really cool point that DC does. I love how DC relates things to life because doctors in real life have a huge problem and struggle a lot with the idea of death when it comes close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad because they spend their lives saving people and eventually they get to a point where like they have to come to terms with death or sickness taking them.
Right.
And that's like a really hard concept to deal with. So Dr. Ivo's got a really strong duality between them, which I like. And I think that's a huge, and that's the whole reason that there's no other way you could involve Dr. Ivo and Arrow without having him being involved in some kind of quest to find some kind of serum or potion to make him live longer, which is what I think's going on in the flashbacks.
Right.
Whatever that grounded submarine was.
Right. Well, whatever it is, he's obviously manipulating Sarah to think that he's, because she said he's saving the human race.
Exactly.
From what? From death? So that way everybody lives forever and then
exactly.
what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff going on. Him and some of the things that caught me when he was, and this just shows his character, but when the one gentleman runs after Oliver and their team and the bomb detonates, he crawls back and the guy says, "Congratulations, you survived your own stupidity."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he shoots him in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Dr. Ivo's crazy like that. And I guess like a good point to bring up is that, you know, in the end, I think that the submarine might have something to do with whatever's going on with Brother Blood in the future, like whatever he's injecting into these guys.
Mm-hmm. And why did he call the other one Brother, what was it?
Cyrus.
Cyrus. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Probably just his name now. And I'm sure I'm sure that ends up being a character in one.
Well, they probably call them all brother. Mm-hmm. That's probably what they do. And so now that he's the one that survived, they'll probably try to figure out take his blood and try to figure out a way to duplicate that to see if they can make more.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, more people that are able to survive that. Because the guy comes in and talks to him, he's like, there's been a development and it's like somebody's alive.
Right. Right, exactly. Right. And another cool fact is that we're hearing a lot about Barry Allen now, right? So
yes,
we all know the Flash is coming in.
Next episode. Right.
So I think December the cool 4th. Part about that is Barry Allen in the comics ends up getting killed by a group called the Rogues or something like that. And the Rogues that he gets killed by, it's like a group of people and they can like assume other people's identities and stuff like that. But I wouldn't be opposed to thinking that maybe this group that Brother Blood is going to put together, you know, it's fun to try to find out if there's some kind of emergence between the two, but it would be interesting to see if the Rogues end up participating in killing Barry Allen as the Flash and somehow in the future of Arrow. You know what I mean? Mm. It'd be interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get too much into news, but I'll just say piece, and that's just that we know that the other episode I announced that he was going to be on 8 and 9, and then also on episode 20, which was going to lead into a spinoff of his own pilot, but that is no longer the case. That he's going to be in episode 8 and 9, and they've nicked him being in episode 20 for some reason.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's about, but I'm sure we'll find out in
definitely
the near future.
Pre-Flash anyway. He's not going to die.
Oh, no. But let's end and talk about the big, stunning moment that everybody was... the grand finale that we've been hinting towards. But basically, we now find out that Thea Queen is not really Thea Queen, but Thea Merlin.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing she never made out
with
Tommy.
I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, ew.
Oh my God, and Tommy and her are really close too.
Well, remember she had a crush on him. She like tried to kiss him at one
point.
Yeah,
sense.
And that's
her
brother.
It's her brother.
Ooh, that's weird. This is getting weird.
But that's definitely going to come out as big secrets like that always yes. do. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I feel like, obviously, Moira's known this. She never told Tommy about it because he just said to her at the very end of the episode, mm-hmm. imagine yeah. my surprise when I did research and I found out mm-hmm. that Thea is my daughter. Well, her being underneath him as long as she has, and you talking about the things that she was doing, maybe part of it was she didn't want that secret to come out, so therefore that's why she felt such obligation right. towards
yeah.
Malcolm.
Well, she was definitely keeping a lot of secrets from a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So, you know, at some point it's got to be hard to keep all that stuff straight.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, tell me about it. This truth will set you free. And Oliver really yeah. pointed that out to her in the court case, saying, mm-hmm. like, you know, the truth finally has to come out, you know, like, you got to do
okay,
it.
Okay, hypocrite.
No, yeah. I what? Mean, how am I a hypocrite?
Not you, Oliver. Oh, yeah. Oh. Has to come out. And yeah. there's so many secrets that he has. There's so yeah. many people that don't know what exactly happened on the island, which is exactly what Diggle pointed out to him a right, few episodes right. ago.
And I really like how they went ahead.
Do
and
as I say, not oh. as I do.
Oh, excuse right. me. Mom.
And I really like how they found out that, or I like the way they brought Merlin back in, or Merlin's like, you know, I had to practice many ways of pretending to be dead or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. because instead of going that meta way, or like yeah. going to that, you know, supernatural way, because uh-huh. like they were going to say, like, and I guess like the other way could have gone is he went to the Lazarus pit and was dropped in and they pulled him out. And now mm-hmm. he has like, you know, he brought back to life by the pit. Then you have to put all these
extra elements,
these extra mm-hmm. supernatural elements into the show. And in a lot of aspects, when I see shows do that, which I was really afraid of for this show, once you get those supernatural aspects in, and then the show usually goes downhill within a season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it just changes the element of it, because this whole show is based upon not superpowers, but super people.
Right. Exactly.
People doing, yeah. you know, super yeah. exactly. things. Exactly. Extraordinary
exactly.
things.
Exactly. And I know everybody's scared about The Flash, but here's the thing that, as a comic book reader myself, I'd say that it's something that I always really found to love, is that I love when comics show a realistic way of someone existing. Like, I've never right. been a fan of Superman, because he's overpowered. And there's no realistic way for someone to become Superman. I'm more of a fan of like a Batman or an Arrow, or even, right. you know, Barry Allen becoming the Flash sounds awesome to me if it's a way that we did it and we designed it, you know?
Right.
Even in Marvel Comics, my favorite comic is Iron Man, you know? Because right. it's done by man, you know? So I love that. And I love the fact they didn't take us out of reality, sorry. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can agree with that.
Okay, cool.
I like it.
It's good. We're on the all same right. page on something here.
So now that we are on the same page, why yeah. don't we just start talking about some news?
Yeah, let's go.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right. So I want to start with some pictures. We'll take a few moments to pull some of those up. But as we do, I've got pictures on some cool stuff, future stuff. And let's see. We're going to talk about some other episodes. We do know that. I'm going to wait till the picture shows up before I actually start talking about everything that's been going on right now. So while I do that, do you guys have any news?
Nothing. I thought you had this.
Here yeah. it is. Okay, so it's funny because, thank you guys, you guys have been tweeting me this picture too, but when I saw it, I thought, finally, he's got a mask. He doesn't have any eyeshadow.
I like the eyeshadow.
But what do you guys think about this mask?
I don't know if I like it. I like the eyeshadow better.
I
mean,
I can't tell who that guy is.
Yeah, you know, it's.
I'm just being real. I can't.
I kind of like the eyeshadow better.
I think I would have liked this mask if it was a little bit larger. The skinniness
kind of reminds me of a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, there you go. You're dead on with that
one. I like it again. Yeah. Yes. I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan.
All right, so am I. But this, and he's dressed in green. Yeah. I don't know. But you know, it's one small step forward for mankind.
Awesome.
Let's go on to the next picture if we can. Okay, so I pulled this up. This is something that it's obviously people have seen. It's just one of the promos for mm-hmm. Arrow. But mm-hmm. it's a glimpse at Roy Harper as the Red Arrow.
With red eyeshadow.
Right. With red eyeshadow.
Super
which
weird.
Leads me to ask the question, when is this moment going to happen? Because if you're going to put this on this season's promo posters, that must mean that this season something will be happening.
Oh, for sure. Especially now that Merlin's back. It's got to happen sooner rather than later.
He needs backup. Yep. Green Arrow needs that some backup. Let's go into the next picture, please. Mm-hmm. Okay, this picture. I just have to stop and pause for a moment.
Where am I at?
You know what? Apparently, you do have to have abs to get cast in this show. But thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for these abs. So, obviously, if you guys don't know the characters, we have Slade, we have Roy. Oh, I said that reverse. Oliver. You know, I'm sorry, the screens here are very dim, but we have our four. How about that? I'll just say that. We have our four men and their four amazing abs, and there is something for everybody.
Four
on
out of five. I need to be in that picture.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Kidding me? But if you, ladies,
if you like this picture, this is actually a screensaver that I found. So just Google screensavers of Arrow, and this will come up.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving along, this is the young lady that will be playing one of Ra's al Ghul's daughters. However, apparently she's one of the forgotten daughters. She's not somebody that we expect her to be. She's going to be Nysa al Ghul.
Hmm.
That's good. She's,
yes.
She's kind of nice.
She's the... See, daughter coming to confront the re-caged Katie Lost Canary. And to play the part, Arrow is casting somebody. She apparently is from Spartacus, which is where Manu Bennett is from.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And her name is, let's see, Cynthia Adia Robinson.
Hmm.
Nice.
Interesting.
Yes, super action event. Okay, so anyways, I just wanted to show that picture. And then I have a couple of videos, too, because you guys know that I like videos. So that'll be pulled up in a few minutes. What else do I have here?
Oh, by the way, guys.
Did I?
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, in news and gossip, this might be true, might not be true, but one of my good friends, I'd say one of my best friends, ended up growing up on the same street as a character on Arrow, somebody that is also known as Black Canary. So,
nice.
Yeah, as the Canary. So, looks like I have an in. I'm going to see what I can do for you guys. So, let's keep our hopes alive here.
Yay! Yeah. Okay, let's go to our first video. This is really cool. It's Stephen Amell slow motion doing his parkouring. I just think it's cool because it shows that his physical abilities.
All right, let's see what he's got.
He has to think about it. Thumbs up. I don't know if we can... is there a way we can maybe fast forward it just a little bit? I think I wanted it at like a minute. Third... There we go.
Is this Stephen Amell right here?
Yeah.
I know this gym.
Check this out.
This gym is in Van Nuys, California.
Uh-huh. Talking about the pull-up bar.
I could do this.
If you are listening to the podcast, definitely check this one out on YouTube. What?
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah. I want to know how long it took.
I swear to God, you guys take a camera and come with me to any gym, and I will do all of this.
Well, you guys can go to YouTube and check out the full video of that. Amazing workout in slow motion.
Yes. Yeah. I, you know, the reason why I pulled that up, not just because I think that Stephen Amell is great and physically fit, but because...
Tell us how you really feel.
You know, I mean, if I could drool on camera for you guys, I would. But I'm not going to do that tonight. So really the reason why I like it so much is because a lot of times actors do have stunt doubles, which he did, and mm-hmm. he did more so at the beginning of season one. But he obviously worked really hard to embody this character. And to me, just so much respect that goes out to him because that stuff is not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy at all. This is the last, it's an interview from last season, but I think it's cool to finally see Manu Bennett speak a little bit about his part as Slade Wilson. So here we go.
What is happening?
Well, you know, we're out on that island, that damn island, you know, and, you know, Slade's working with Oliver to sort of, you know, build up his strength as the upcoming character of Arrow. But, you know, drama can never go in a straight line, you know what I mean? So get ready for the big dipper.
And big surprises.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Big surprises. And it won't be a surprise if I tell you, darling. Just stop asking.
Okay, so we can cut it here. I thought it was really cool. So this is courtesy of Movie Maniacs. I want to definitely credit them. They did an interview with him. But yeah, I like seeing him talk about him and his character. And I want to see more development of what's going to happen with Deathstroke.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So that is my news and gossip, I guess. I don't really have any gossip, do you guys?
Yep, let's do predictions.
All right, let's go. Boop-a-da-doo.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Oh, there's no episode for Thanksgiving.
Nope.
There is not.
No, we're back December 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some predictions, guys. What do you guys think is going to happen for our mid-season finale?
I think that... I'm kind of hoping that Thea's going to find out that Malcolm's her dad before then, or at least by then. And
what do you think that'll do to her, though, mentally?
Well, I think it's going to cause lots of drama, hence the need for the Red Arrow to come in and kind of help out and kind of, you know, take his character build out a little bit more.
But can you imagine after all these? Okay, first of all, she's found out all these lies by her mother, and she probably thinks at this point she's found everything out that she could possibly find out. And then this—that's a huge bomb to drop on somebody.
And I kind of think, or at least I would like to see him, for him to be the one to tell her. Because I think that would be like the most dramatic way for her to find out. Like, I kind of don't want Myra to tell her. Like, yeah. I kind of don't want her to get that chance to be the first one to
tell
her.
That would actually be,
especially because she's the, like, she's already asked her. She, when she admitted about the affair, they already said, I asked you about this already and you lied again. So that'll be two lies about the same situation.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of, I don't want it to be her. I want it to be Malcolm that tells her.
Nice.
Gosh, if that happened, I think Oliver would just about fall over.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
I think that definitely we're going to go into, as the season progresses further and we find out what's in that submarine, I have a strong belief, and I know I've been doing a little bit of prediction as we're going through the show, but I definitely think that's going to be some kind of secret to life, some kind of cure, something that can make you live longer and become stronger and just be like, you know.
It's
just
like a fountain of youth.
It's like a fountain of youth type thing that was on that submarine ship. And I think we're going to see that play into the future episodes. I think we're going to see Slade come back in. I think we're going to see him move into the future. I think he's going to end up being somebody that helps Arrow and stuff like that.
I think that now that we know, I mean, this is going to be in the future, but now that we know that one of Ra's al Ghul's daughters is coming, she's obviously going to come for Sarah, and it's going to be a huge showdown. Maybe at that point we will see Roy Harper start turning into the Red Arrow, but I think that it's going to cause a battle of forces, and it's going to be another amazing fight scene, just like the one that we happened to see.
Nice.
The other episode ago. Nice. And as we take this show home and end it with a little bit of Drake. Thank you guys so much for watching. Hey. We had an awesome time, all three of us here sharing our voices and our opinions with you on Arrow. If you want to continue to converse with us about what you think about the show, please feel free to tweet us. You can tweet me at KissMyPassport.
You can tweet me at M Mowgli, M-O-W-G-A-L-I, or on Facebook at Mowgli. That's it.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Kelly with an IE079. And you guys that have tweeted, sorry if you didn't get to get the streaming. Hopefully you can catch us on YouTube tomorrow.
And guys, just all of us here are just going to say good job, Myra. We're happy you got the acquittal or the not guilty verdict.
Yes.
And we're happy you're going home.
Yeah,
take it away, Drake.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Let's get out some pizza.
Express herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.